You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off. Racing.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to another edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. I'm Andy Holding, taking a look at a 7-race programme at Naas on this Sunday, April the 9th, where we've got yielding soft in places ground set for us here this afternoon. Decent action we've got as well, plenty of good handicaps to get our teeth stuck into, and our best races come in the middle of the card in the shape of the Gladness Stakes 330 and the Vincent O'Brien Centenary at Ledge Stakes, the Group 3 contest at 4:05. So hopefully we should be having a decent and productive day this afternoon and what looks a fascinating card. We begin at the action in the 1:55, which is a European Breeders' Fund maiden for the 2-year-old. So very little to go on here, other than we've got one or two big names sending their horses to post for this, what could be a fascinating affair. We've got Sioux Nation from the Aidan O'Brien stable, who's a colt by Scat Daddy, reportedly quite forward by his trainer and expected to run well, obviously, in the hands of Ryan Moore. And given that Aidan's made a decent start to the campaign, big things should be expected of this 2-year-old. Also notice that Joseph O'Brien's got a runner here in the shape of Sebastiano Ricci. Of course, Joseph had a very productive day yesterday at Leopardstown, when he landed the Ballysack Stakes, of course, with Rekindling. So obviously this yard's going particularly well. And he's nicely bred as well by Lope de Vega, so plenty of pace there on the sire side. Matt Wellington, obviously, has also got to be respected, along with Monitor from the Jim Bolger stable. All those yards go really well first time out. But I'll take a chance that Sebastiano Ricci is forward enough to do himself justice, and he's a nice each-way price around the 9-2, 4-1 mark this morning. On to race number two then, which is a Fillies maiden. Not much to go on here, but Sorel de Rose certainly caught the eye enough first time out to suggest she's capable of winning a race of this nature. This filly by Dark Angel made her debut back in October, and she caught the eye by finishing off her race very strongly to finish a never near a third behind Wayside Flower from the Jura Lion stable. And that horse, of course, have had the experience of previous 4 runs under her belt. So she was obviously up against a horse who was battle-hardened on that particular afternoon. But the form looks pretty decent. We've already seen Puppet Show, who finished fourth in that respective race, come out and run well first time out at Leopardstown last week when finishing third behind Tempera. And there was also one or two other fancied horses in the race, such as Alluring and Focus on Heaven. So it didn't look a bad maiden of its kind. Nicely drawn right in the centre of the field in stall number 9. She's already got form on softish ground. And as the Dermot Weld team have made a reasonable start to the season, they certainly haven't been knocking the lights out, but all his horses have been there or thereabouts. You'd certainly expect a decent show here in a race of this nature from Sorel de Rose, who looks the obvious choice. On to race number 3 then, which is the first of the big handicaps here this afternoon at 2:55. Cenotaph is very much an interesting runner here for the Aidan O'Brien stable. Obviously, Aidan's made a really good start to the campaign, and this horse, it was really impressive the last time we saw him back in September. However, it did come on the all-weather, and it was off a mark of 72. And now he's £22 higher, which is a huge shot across the bows from the handicapper here. He's suggesting this horse could well be a group horse. Well, he might well be right in time, but this horse has still got to go on and prove it. And given that he hasn't yet won on the turf, and he's been off the track for 217 days, whether I want to take 5-2 to find out how good he is obviously open to question. So therefore, there could be a little bit of value to be had elsewhere. And the two that stand out for me here are two horses who come here off the back of recent runs. The first of them is Club Wexford, right down the foot of the weights there, sneaking in number 16 on the race card. I thought this horse ran an absolute blinder in a very good race at Leopardstown the other day. It was a race that was dominated by Beachmount Whisper, who was given a good ride from Gary Halpin from the front. He was also obviously drawn in stall 1 as well, which meant he hooked the inside rails and saved ground, whereas Kevin Manning was stranded right out in the wing in stall number 17 on Jim Bolger's charge. Therefore, he did really well to close his prey down in the latter stages to only get done by half a length. But he did pass virtually the entire field in the space of a furlong and a half in the straight. So he showed a really good turn of foot. Now, most of his best winning, trips have been coming over seven furlongs over a mile. But if you go back to his first run last year at the Curragh, he was second to Bubbly Bellini over six furlongs in what turned out to be a very productive handicap for the rest of the season. So if he can run to that level with that fitness edge under his belt, he should go really well. And he's drawn right next to the pace as well, right down the middle, where Unsidia and Tribal Path are drawn. The other one to mention is Rapid Applause, who represents the Michael O'Callaghan stable. Now, this horse form figures don't look that great in recent times, but if you go back to the heady days of 2014-15, he was running in Group 2 and Group 3 company, respectively, against the likes of Dick Whittington, Cool Company. So he's clearly had one or two issues along the way. However, he has been gelded in the interim, and his run last time out at Dundalk certainly caught the eye. He was last turned into the home straight, but he managed to run on through the field to finish a never nearer three lengths behind Lily's Prince. So he's obviously coming back to some kind of form. Drawn stall 17, close to the favourite Cenotaph. He should also run well at a nice each-way price. On to the first of the group races then, which is the Gladness Stakes, coming up at 3:30. All eyes here will no doubtably be on Alice Springs, who bids to make a winning comeback. This filly was very productive last season, of course, winning Group 1 races at Leopardstown and Newmarket, respectively. And although she couldn't quite round the season off in the Breeders' Cup Mile, it just shows you the kind of company that she was keeping during the campaign. However, if she was going to be vulnerable, it might well turn out to be first time out, because she was last season when she raced over seven furlongs and could only manage third behind Jet Setting. Therefore, the value bet could well be Blue De Vega from the Michael O'Callaghan stable. Now, this horse has been a little bit of a disappointment in recent times after suggesting as a two-year-old he could well turn into a pattern horse. Things haven't quite panned out for him up to now, but the connection seems to have stumbled across his right distance. Having tried him over a mile and a quarter to a little bit of uncertainty, they've managed to find his niche by dropping him back again to seven furlongs on his final start last season. And he ran an absolute blinder when finishing second in the Knockair Stakes behind Sovereign Debt. But you've only got to look in behind the horses that day to suggest that form was really good. Downforce was third, of course, won by 12 lengths, first time up this season. And Rose de Pierre, who was fifth, has also got off the market the first time of asking this campaign. So that form certainly carries its weight forward into this race. And as Blue de Vega's available back at a much bigger price, around about the 5-2 mark this morning, he rates the value call in race number 4. On to race number 5 then. Again, another decent looking pattern race to get our teeth stuck into. All eyes here will be on US Army Ranger, who bids to get his reputation back following a good start to the campaign last year. Of course, rounding off by finishing second in the Irish Derby to Harzan. But he rather lost his way towards the back end, and he was well beaten when we last saw him in Ascot. And more importantly, he was beaten by Success Days. And that defeat came on the 21st of August when he was around about four lengths behind Ken Condon's charge in the Royal Whip Stakes. Now, Ken Condon's charge is a really difficult horse to catch when he's on song and he's in front, as he proved that day. And given that he goes really well fresh and he likes soft ground, this track should really suit Ken Condon's charge, and he could well be difficult to catch from the front. So at 3-1 this morning, the 5-year-old grey Success Days makes plenty of sense to back there in race number 5. On to another one of the big betting handicaps, which comes up at 4:40 over a mile and a quarter. Essanac made a bright start to his campaign and his career when he won first time up at Garran last season. However, the form doesn't look overly strong and it wasn't a great time figure. So whether he deserves to have a mark of 90 at this stage of his career is certainly open to question. So I'm going to pass him over in favour of Sister Balaldine. Now, Johnny Murta, he's made a good start to the campaign. He had a winner last weekend in the shape of Maximus Dyer. So things are looking rosy there in his particular garden. And there's every chance that Sister Baldini will follow suit for the County Kildare hander. Model of consistency throughout her campaign last season. She actually won four handicaps, including two off the reel in mid-season. She also finished the campaign with a good success at Navan, showing grit and determination to beat a 19-strong field. And as she likes soft ground and likes a stiff uphill finish, there's every chance that Sister Baldini will add to her tally on the first time of asking this season. On to the final race then, what looks to be a useful maiden in the offing. Diodorus obviously sets a standard, given that he finished second in a listed race behind Dubai Sand on his final start of last season. That race didn't look a bad race of his kind. However, This horse just carries his head a little bit awkward for me, hence the tongue time blinker combination. And I'm not really sure whether I want to take a very short price about him in this concluding maiden. I also quite like Clongowes as a horse last year, although he didn't get his head in front, and he looks the logical each-way alternative to the favourite, based on his placed efforts last season. Although he was beaten fairly comfortably on his final start, that wasn't a bad little maiden. He took part in behind the likes of Venus Beach and Titus. And with the Jim Bulger stable once again showing that they always come to hand early, he's had several horses that have either won or been placed in the last week or two. I'd expect a huge run there from Clongowes around about the 9-2 mark in the final race. Thanks very much for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. I'm Andy Holding signing off until we catch you again later on in the week. Until then, it's goodbye for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.